And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Greater Desire. The Blue Ranger, Michael, being joined by the whole gang. We have the Pink Ranger, Brian.
Hey everybody, what's happening?
The Red Ranger, Sasha.
The one and only and forever red.
And the one who is getting the episode that they've been waiting for quite a while, our Green Ranger, Mr. Ben Taylor.
What up? It's me, your boy.
So, Ben, I hate to break it to you, but we're not going to get to your favorite episode just yet.
I'll come back when we do.
Okay, so with that, we now officially begin what I guess you could say is the new era of the Rangers, as we have now finished passing the torch and we are doing the official run now of this new team. And we actually begin with Stitch Witchery, which is actually an Ashley-centric episode. How do we feel about and there's a little bit of a theme to this episode for each of these episodes that we're doing. How do we feel about this being an Ashley-centric episode to kind of start off this new team officially?
They needed it.
Oh.
There was so little development of the new team in passing of the torch, and your most experienced ranger is a 12-year-old child. That I really hoped we were going to get some actual sort of in-depth spotlight episodes. Like, this is what Ashley does and her parents and what her hopes and her aspirations are. And this is Cassie and this is T. And we got one for Ashley that wasn't even actually very good. It didn't really tell us anything about her other than, like, I'm a teenage girl that likes clothes.
And there was
And
the
the Angel Grove High can afford to run a design class, a fashion design class.
elective. It's fine.
But
Get
it should.
the at the juice bar and get the money. It's fine.
But it should be noted though that yes, they weren't fully developed going in. They were kind of thrown in there, but we did get a little bit of a background for Carlos because he had been kind of a focus a little bit with Adam because of the soccer, because Adam was his coach. And then we had the TJ Cassie bus trip that led them to them helping out the
That
Rangers.
was absolute nonsense.
Yes. So
And we did, so we've established a few things about the Rangers. Well,
and
like very basic.
Ashley was kind of like the
Cheerleader.
like yeah she was a che she's a cheerleader, and she was kind of like the voice of reason in a way to Carlos because he was a selfish soccer player. So it's like we've had a little bit there, but it's like, as Ben said, not enough to, really make us go, man, these guys should be Rangers.
There was for like from a kid's perspective, I think the fact that they even bothered to introduce these characters earlier, even if it was just for one episode, at least served something. It was better than just like throwing them in. But we've talked about how previous Rangers have been introduced like with episodes and episodes of them just kind of being friends and developing as part of the group before the whole Ranger aspect comes in. But it didn't like it seems like there wasn't a lot of time to put to develop them. But what I will say is I was very amused by this episode. It's not a good episode by any means, but I was amused. It's
No.
just like a very shenanigan ridden kind of Power Ranger episode. And when you're having a bad day, like you turn on Stitch Witchery and you kind of turn your brain off and you laugh a little bit because it's so dumb. But I think I like Ashley a lot, but I feel like either TJ or Cassie should have got. I mean, Cassie gets a whole arc in the latter half of the season, but this, well, sort of. There's more focus on her, let's put it that way. But
Yes.
I don't know, maybe Carlos a little bit more, or maybe like really establishing TJ as a leader is where this should have started after passing of the torch.
Yeah,
I can agree with you on that.
I almost feel like the episode we would talk about next should have been here.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because when we get on to talking about the next episode, we'll talk a lot about how TJ is in the forefront and how he's acting like a leader. And I feel that would have been better served straight after the power switches.
Yeah. Brian, what were you going to say?
I was just going to add that, yeah, this episode is ridiculous. Was just completely agree with Ben that this was, I don't know. I completely agree that Wheel of Fate should have probably been the episode after this, because to go straight into Stitch Witchery was an odd choice. And we'll definitely get more into that. But like, this is the first time I had seen this episode and my jaw kind of hit the floor. How ridiculous this episode actually was.
Yeah.
And knowing full well that this is Power Rangers, and still my jaw was like, so.
Yeah, there is something that I will say a little later that applies here.
Yeah.
And that is that early Power Rangers, at the very least, I would say, at least the Zordon era, is at its best when it realizes how bloody silly it is. Right? And this is one of those episodes where they're just like, screw it, we're going for it. And we can talk all we like about this, that, and the other, but there's just a an inherent silliness to this episode. Be it the fact that Diva Tox manages to make everyone in Angel Grove want a frankly ugly jacket by putting a magic potion on it that contains chocolate. Or the very 80s shoulder pads whenever Blue Centaurion's got the jacket on.
Sure.
Or somehow how his Zord has a jacket on. Like,
which was delivered via missile.
Yeah.
This is the kind of ridiculous shenanigans that make absolutely no sense that we've come to expect from Power Rangers.
You know, I literally have written on here two questions. How is the Blue Centurion's favorite color yellow?
Yeah.
That's a line. Also, how stupid did he look in that coat?
Well, first of all, very stupid. But second of all, why can't his favorite color be yellow?
Because he's the Blue Centurion.
Yeah. Right, but that's why it's funny. And also, like, if this I go my some entire life being called the Blue Centurion, eventually I'm going to get sick of the color blue.
Yeah.
So. That's why y'all keep changing Ranger colors every season, right?
No.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, it's weird, isn't it? Because I don't want to talk too much about, like, because we covered it extensively in Passing of the Torch, right? But it just, this episode feels hollow in a way, right? Every other time we've gotten a Ranger change of some form, we've either known the Rangers going into it, or the Ranger change has had a several episode arc, or coming out of the Ranger change, we've gotten to know the new Rangers some. And I don't think one episode is enough coming out of it. You know, if they'd done a one episode for TJ, because we'd had a little bit about TJ in the Passing of the Torch. Okay, fair enough. Same with Cassie. If they'd done like a one episode Cassie thing, But like Ashley, who was quite literally a blank slate in passing of the torch, literally all we get out of it is she likes fashion and cries when people are mean to her, which is a really, really, really good rate, really good trait for a ranger to have.
And it and you say that, and one of the interesting things that actually happens in this episode is that, and I think this is the first time we've actually ever seen it, maybe the only time that we've seen it, where Alpha 6 literally sees Ashley in the viewing globe and hits up the communicator and be like, hey, are you okay? What's wrong? Because he sees her there crying on the globe.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I think, like, we're not going to get into depth about how much lacking in depth Power Rangers is sometimes, but I do think we forget at times that, like, they are technically teenagers and they've only been on this job for, like, not that long. So I don't really have that much of an issue of her crying, especially because it doesn't really happen much later on. It's not like it's an established trait that they give her. It's just a part of the plot that is quickly forgotten, right? Like a lot of Power Ranger canon.
Yeah.
So I think, look, you know, like Brian and I talked at length about the change in Demetria with the team that will, I think this that happens in later episodes that we've already recorded. But the fact that Alpha sort of like acknowledging that, like, oh, wait a minute, this is not, you know, Tanya or Aisha. This is a new Yellow Ranger who still kind of got her trade. Maybe there's a little bit of training wheels going on here. And look, this is not, again, this is not a good episode, like, but I don't know. It's trying at least to do something a little bit different in that regard. It doesn't go anywhere, but they tried, sort of.
See, I didn't take it as him seeing her in the viewing globe and hitting her up to say, are you okay? I took it as the fact that he was calling on her anyway to go be like, we need your help. Like, Blue Centaurian needs your help. And then noticed that she was crying.
It can be both.
Right, but it's very different.
That's fair.
Like, one is going out of your way to check on someone. One is mentioning, are you crying, when you're calling them anyway. It's a very different context.
Yep.
I mean, I know that there's a job to do, but, you know, at the very least, it was like, you know, hey, are you good? Like, you know.
Yep. And then, so we're going to talk about the real heroes of Power Rangers for a moment. The good men of Bulk and Skull. Who previously, when we last saw them, they were monkeys, but then
they became chimps.
They were chimps that they became chimps. That became
chimpanzees are not monkeys. They're apes.
Get it right, Michael.
Well, they refer to them as
how
monkeys.
Science works, Mike.
Well, they are still referred to as monkeys in the show.
The show, as I have previously stated, is wrong.
And I'm pretty sure they actually refer to them as chimps. They make a reference to chimps in the next episode.
They call them chimps and they call them monkeys.
Yeah.
So,
but anyways, last time we saw them, they were chimps / monkeys, depending on how the show wanted to categorize them.
I mean, technically, the last time we saw them was them becoming it. Well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting to that. I'm getting to that. Oh. But at the end of Passing of the Torch, they became invisible. So now they're invisible. They're wreaking havoc at the beach. They're taking people's food. Skull does his best Yogi Bear impersonation when he sees a picnic basket.
The picnic basket, yeah.
I don't know, Yogi.
Hey, boo-boo, let's go steal some picnic baskets. But anyways, there's a really great part at the beach where they're on the boardwalk, and Bulk is a magician. He has, like, the gloves on, the tape around the fit, like, the medical tape or the wraps around his face.
The Invisible Man gimmick, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really cool. But then it comes back to bite him in the butt at the end of the episode when they start taking somebody's food at the juice bar. And now we can see Bulk and Skull once again after so many episodes.
Can we talk about the reverse Incredible Hulking as well?
The reverse Incredible Hulking.
Yeah, because Bulk and Skull, when they show up in the juice bar, are in the clothes that Chimps had been wearing. Which means the clothes resized themselves.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't even noticed that, honestly.
I was thinking about that because I was like, wait, weren't they wearing the same clothes as they were as Chimps? And now I'm like, wait, but how did their clothes grow?
Yeah.
Maybe their clothes were given to them by Rangers because it's also made of spin. I don't know.
Look, there's a very simple explanation.
Yeah.
They didn't want them to be naked when they grew.
This is a kid's show, people.
I think one of my favorite things about this scene, at least with the Magic Man thing, was one of the kids just being really unimpressed with Bulk, and he goes to steal the tip, and then Skull shakes him down for the money.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. I loved that.
Yeah, that.
I think it's like, it was really the funniest part, honestly, for me was not him like shaking the kid down, but the kid was like, oh, this isn't real, or like, oh, like you're fake. So I'm like, prove it. Now you're just going to steal their money. I'm like, prove it, freaking prove it. And then he got shaken down. He's like, he shouts, keep the dollar, as he runs away.
While we're still talking about Bulk and Skull, I do have another just random note I have to just throw out there because of my ADHD, because I could not unsee it. The guy that like dumps the milkshake on Bulk once he's visible looks like if Anthony Edwards, who played Dr. Green on ER, played Billy in Mighty Morphin.
Yeah.
I was like, huh, you look familiar, but I don't know why.
Damn, Brian, that is very accurate. I'm very impressed.
I never watched ER, so sure, I'll accept that as well.
Have you never seen ER?
Never cared.
Okay, that's a conversation we're gonna have later.
We did that show; it would take forever to review. Anyways,
yeah, no, I'm a pass. I have a very short attention span for medical dramas. But moving back to Power Rangers here. I actually have a question that is like part of the scene that we're currently discussing. Yep. So like right, or maybe I'm confusing scenes, but it's like very shortly after that they see the jackets because the Rangers are also at the pier. Mm-hmm. And is this show trying to make TJ and Cassie a thing?
I feel that it's like almost like TJ and Ashley. Because there's moments at the end of that episode where Ashley gives like TJ a great big hug after she gets the jackets off of everybody to break the spell. And then, you know, I think there's a little bit more.
Right, but there's that moment when they're going to go look at the jackets where he like offers her his arm and.
There's some 30-30 going around. I wonder if this was a case of the writer sort of testing the waters to figure out if a love interest would be a thing that they were going to do.
And you know what? Thinking about that, we'll also touch on that with our next episode, which we'll talk about in a moment.
I'm done.
But I mean, there is a good point to that as well that we'll see in the next episode, near the end of it, which we will just hop into right now, which is the Wheel of Fate.
No, hang on a minute. Okay. Part of me wonders if we've been quite vocal in this season so far, or at least I have, about how goddamn lazy the writers were. And I'm wondering if there weren't some residual Catherine Tommy scripts that were hanging around as why they were trying to pair up the Red and Pink Rangers.
Huh. That's a fair assessment, actually.
That's a really good question, Ben.
That makes sense.
And when they realized that, oh, I'm going to get crucified for saying this, how none of them have any chemistry with each other. I mean, literally none of them.
Chemistry is for next season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they just abandoned it when they realized that putting Cassie and TJ together would be like rubbing two cinder blocks together.
I could see it. I could see it, but maybe that's just me.
But to kind of keep that conversation going a little bit, we will hop into our next episode, which is the Wheel of Fate. Now, remember, I mentioned that with the Stitch Witchery, that was like an Ashley-centric episode. This episode, I am dubbing what was probably the inspiration for the Fast and the Furious. And note, I actually wrote this down. The Wheel of Fate episode aired on September 15th, 1997. The Fast and the Furious, the first movie of the franchise, came out in 2001.
While it is a very funny joke, I doubt it.
I doubt it too, but there's similarities of what we see in this episode. And the thing is that we go from having an Ashley-centric episode, and this is a part where I actually do agree with you, Ben, of maybe this episode should have been the first one after Passing of the Torch, and then you could have done Stitch Witchery, because this episode is actually not even really an individual Ranger
It's
specific.
not, no.
It's a vehicle or vehicles specific episode where we get introduced to Lightning Cruiser and Storm Blaster. Because, and I wrote this down,
The fastest, greatest vehicles in the
in the
galaxy,
universe.
whatever.
And I wrote this down because this is literally how the beginning of this episode happens. Nothing like introducing a monster, not say who he is, and then sending them to the Omega Quadrant, and now he's going to Earth to track down two cars.
They did name him.
They did,
Yeah.
because it
Because
wasn't. His name.
Diva Talks literally goes, "Go get me blank," and names the monster.
It's Dreadfeather, by the way.
Yeah, Dreadwing, Dreadfeather, something like that.
So,
He's so memorable. We have to make sure we remember his name because he's
yeah.
so memorable.
Can
But
I
they,
plant
I
one more
obviously
point?
didn't
Is that
remember his name.
she did name him.
Okay, well,
it just wasn't a memorable name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which can I say something about the scene right before the title where the cars shoot off to Earth? Oftentimes, Power Rangers will do stuff where like they don't even explain what's happening on screen. Was in the Sentai footage, because it's absolutely Sentai footage, was Dreadfeather sitting on a comet, them like an egg or something? Like,
So he was sent into space to find the comet that the cars are in, right? And he scans like three comets and gives up, and then sits on a box that is randomly on one of the comets that just so happens to release the two cars.
So, Brian, I have a question for you specifically.
What's up?
If you see two cars barreling down the road, do you run the opposite direction of what the cars are driving, or do you get out of the way?
If it's Carl's, I run away from them, but if it's a car, then I'll get out of the way.
Okay, so why do TJ and Justin decide, hey, there's these two vehicles barreling down the road. I'm going to keep running down the road so they can run me over.
Because they went to the Prometheus School of Running Away from Things.
Because there's a very simple explanation. But you know what? I also have there's also this weird moment right where like they decide that they can't run anymore and they go absolutely nowhere and they just crouch down waiting to be hit. TJ has his fist up. Like, what are you planning on doing? Punching the car?
Also, you can teleport.
That
it's that thing where you hit the button on the communicator and then you can go back to the command
and
center and
to those listening at home, Brian is showing off his bling over here with his communication device in the appropriate color of his Ranger status, I might add.
yep, gotta
like
dress for the
not only
occasion.
can you teleport, you are Power Rangers that regularly jump like 700 feet in the air to board your Zord. So just
And
jump over them.
or do the tuck and roll to the side so you get off the road.
They could have jumped. They could have ran in the opposite direction. They could have just gotten off the road. There was like a bazillion things that they could have done. That was not what actually they did.
Climb a tree or something. I don't know.
Like,
And then there's this whole subplot of Divatox going, ah, but if these cars worked for me, and it's like, okay, how do you intend to get sentient cars to do that?
That was also
The
her
same
plot
way
with
you
Blue
tame a
Centauri.
Mustang.
But she has to break her their spirits or something.
but this is also the exact same subplot when Blue Centaurian came on the scene. The only difference is that last time they were able to intercept Blue Centaurian and corrupt his programming for a little bit.
Right, but there's a there. What I'm saying is, these cars have a mind of their own, right? So even if you put people behind the wheel, they're not going to do what you tell them to do.
And Elgar learned that the hard way.
And then TJ learned that the hard way.
TJ was trying to hit the like brakes and like it just wasn't working.
Well, yeah, the Mustang didn't want to break.
Well,
Another reason I
but
think that this would have been a better episode coming out of the power switchover. I always forget what the episode's called.
passing of the torch.
Passing of the torch. Is I think it is the first, like with the addition of the new cars, it really is sort of a new status quo, right? Whereas Stitch Witchery feels very much mired in the old status quo. So it's like Stitch Witchery is just like there. Whereas if you've done this one first, then
There's absolutely nothing in Stitch Witchery, which, by the way, I dwell on that again, but I honestly thought that like the treasure was actually going to be the main subplot, not the whatever. And so I was surprised to see in the Sentai footage that like that's where the jacket was too, and I was like, oh, I was completely wrong about this. You could have dropped that episode anywhere. First couple of these episodes with the new cast, and it would have been fine. There would have been nothing like out of place. There would have been no continuity errors or anything like that. And I feel like, yeah, Wheel of Fate would have been a way better introduction to these characters and show TJ ch being challenged. You know, it's like, hey, I'm stepping in as a leader. I'm trying to be like the guy for my team. And it's like, okay, I have to somehow down these like sentient cars and get them to trust me. How do I do that? So I don't know. I can.
And the piggyback off of that, like I know I've made my like quips that it's like, oh, it's the Fast and Furious or whatever and stuff like that. While this is a very vehicle centric episode, because it really is about Lightning Cruiser and Storm Blaster, it is a good foil for TJ because he has to, as kind of Sasha was going in, breaking in the Mustang, because there's that whole scene where he is literally chasing the car, jumping on it, and that car is going full speed and he's running full speed on top of that car. And then he's like, holding on for dear life while it's going to the point where, he's earning that car's trust. So, they do actually do a very good job of having TJ have to do that. And obviously with Justin and Stormblaster, he's captured with Stormblaster as he's trying to fight off the Piranatrons trying to take Stormblaster. So Stormblaster has kind of like said, hey, this guy's fighting for me and has earned that trust. So like there is a little bit of that that they did right.
I thought that there was a really interesting little bit of characterization in the cars that kind of showed you that they did have like feelings and like were perceptive as to what was going on, because like Elgar shows up and like they come in, they bump into TJ and Justin, and once Elgar shows up with all the Piranatrons and everything, the cars like back up almost like they're cats that are like trying to defend themselves a little bit. You know what I mean? They're kind of like almost going prone or something. And I was like, I mean, I know it's literally just someone tapping gas and like, you know, the car's going back, but like visually it was like, oh, that's cool. They're like, you know, defending themselves. It was a cool little thing.
And
This felt
remember.
very Knight Rider to me. I don't know why. Even though Knight Rider hadn't been on the air for like a decade at that point, but still.
Yeah. I
And
mean,
but semi-sentient cars.
oh yeah, that's it.
I mean,
But do remember, buckle your seatbelt, because you had like two instances, in one in each vehicle, where they're like when TJ's flying with Lightning Cruiser, that magically it buckles the seatbelt on TJ, and then like when Storm Blaster and Justin escape, it does the same thing where it buckles his seatbelt as well.
Well, you gotta fight for traffic safety.
Even if you're in the air. And then also I gotta touch base on this real quick. So obviously Carlos, Ashley, and Cassie, they're trying to get Justin and Storm Blaster. And Carlos actually does a really good job of creating a stealth plan to draw the Piranatrons away from the warehouse so they can take them out, only to then go, you know what? Let's just use a blaster and try to blast the door down, which takes away some of the stealth away from them.
This mission no longer requires stealth.
So
But
I.
it does establish a couple of things that we will see later on, especially next season, which is that the Rangers do get a little smarter and they figure try to find different solutions to problems. So it's not, and I don't know if this is probably unintentional, but it's a nice bit that they at least try to do something. Again, they try to do something a little bit different.
Yeah. So it was
Yeah.
definitely a good episode in
Yeah,
that sense.
it's a strong word. It's a competent episode for sure. It's another one of those things that I am hesitant to say it because we say the opposite so often. But this could have been a two-parter.
Oh, wow.
Like if you'd have spent the first part building up Divatox getting the map, and the end of the first episode is the cars coming to Earth, and then the second episode is more working with the cars and things, it wouldn't have felt like the breaking of the cars was so rushed. We could have seen what happened when maybe Divatox tempted them to do something a little bit evil. That kind of thing, right? Like,
Which is interesting because going into the next episode, you kind of do. We'll get to that. We'll get to
they
that.
somewhat force a car to do something evil.
So.
I don't know where to naturally say this, so I'll just say it. I thought it was really cool that Justin's car got rescued by TJ's car by basically Batmanning out of there.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I literally said to myself, where do they get those wonderful toys?
Can I just say I retitled this episode as How to Tame Your Cruiser 101.
Well, which one
You
is
take
tooth?
that wherever you want, but that is the title of this episode.
Which one is toothless? Probably the blue
Who's
one.
Oh, I didn't even realize that was a how to train. That was a play on words on how to train your dragon. That is how my week is going, guys. But it's nice to remember that the abandoned warehouse district of Angel Grove still exists. We've missed it.
we have. Forever will it be there.
Can we also talk about the fact that they captured Stormblaster by throwing a net at it?
Yeah. And then they just chained it up.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ned.
The greatest vehicles in the universe are trapped by chains and netting.
You're off to a great start, guys. You're off to a great start.
This could happen to anybody.
But then, of course, we have Bulk and Skull. Can't go without talking about them for their in their episode. And this episode,
I felt so bad for them.
They are appropriately working roadside construction, where they have to protect a patch of cement that is drying. And
let's be clear here. They're not trying to protect a patch of cement that is drying. They are literally just doing traffic control. Right? And then a car that is out of control runs them over and puts them into the concrete. And then they get fired for that.
Is it
that
happened
boss
twice?
Should get... They should take that boss to fucking court. I just realized Mike's going to have to edit that now.
You get one per season.
You get your one per season, Ben. This ain't Awesome Mania or Awesome Snacks, okay?
That boss should be taken to court.
So
look, we've had episodes, right, where Bulk and Skull bumble something or they screw up something and, you know, they end up the butt of a joke. But you just feel really bad for them this episode. Like,
you do.
Like, and Elgar showed up and ruined everything and they got stuck in cement. Like, our boys don't deserve that.
Well, keep in mind, it happened to them twice. The first time, there's a moment where they're actually re-smoothing the concrete and you hear Skull go, "Hey, have you seen my wallet?" And Bolt goes, "No, have you seen my keys?" Kind of alluding that they got lost in the concrete as they're smoothing it down. And then the second time they fell into it, which is when they get fired, that's when they get stuck in there. So, yeah, you got to feel bad for Bulk and Skull on that. They probably should have just stayed invisible, but you know that gimmick was only going to last for so long on that one.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't stay invisible, but I'm bummed that, like, you know, it becomes of like, okay, what is their job of the week kind of thing. And I know it's all experience and it's all leads to other things later on, but you just want them to succeed.
And I think the only time we've really had that true feeling sense of succeeding for Bulk and Skull was when they graduated from the Junior Police Academy. Because all the Rangers were there celebrating them.
Bulk and Skull are in this really weird place, right? Because, and we talked about this before in this season. At the end of last season, or the end of, at the end of last season, they disappear off to France, right? And then it's like, lol, no, they're back. And like a season before that, all the Rangers were like celebrating them and they'd done this awesome thing about graduating the police department, the police academy or whatever. And then there's just a complete regression in the way that it's handled, right? There's this complete regression in how it bothers me intently that the one set of characters in this entire era that show any form of actual evolution in their character, and it's handled so inconsistently.
And so that leads us into Ben's favorite episode, Trouble by the Slice.
And I do want to point out, this isn't us being doing a bit. This isn't us being ironic. This is legitimately my favorite episode of the Zordon era. Like, legitimately.
Awesome.
Yeah. You have no idea how much Ben has been going on. It's like, I have to do Trouble by the Slice. I have to do Trouble by the Slice.
Like,
it's literally the only reason all four of us are here in this episode. We all wanted to be here to hear Ben rant about the pizza episode.
Like when we were planning this out, like we were planning out like the who's going to be on what episode for Zio. I'd already opened up a Turbo tab and wrote, "I'm doing the pizza episode." Like,
I can confirm that.
And as reference, and Ben, your intro to the very first episode of the season, you know, our recording schedule got completely changed. You fell ill and it changed a lot of things. One thing that a lot of people didn't know was this episode was going to have the four of us together in one place, not over Zoom, with pizza.
But unfortunately, that did
because
not
come whether
to
or
pass.
Not that actually happened, our listeners definitely would have noticed.
You can tell from like the recording quality and things.
No, I meant about the pizza.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you would have just heard Brian chewing into a microphone the whole time.
It's true. I'm very fat.
I'm sorry, Michael. What is this episode even about again?
So,
I forgot. Something with a pizza?
So, first off, it's an experiment gone wrong, but with hilarious results, as Diva Talks ends up transporting herself to another part of Angel Grove and with amnesia. And then all of a sudden, she just ends up in a pizza shop and she just starts eating the pizza. And the guy behind the counter is like,
Is it me or does the thing that she uses to teleport herself never come up again?
Yeah.
It's just never brought up again.
There's a very simple explanation.
But one of the interesting things is the pizza shop owner looked at her and goes, so how are you going to pay for that? And she's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, congratulations, you got a job, aka forced labor, to work off the pizza. And
you've missed a couple of things here.
No,
I'm sorry.
I know. But the thing is, though, is that it just leads to a series of great, funny moments throughout, like, leading up to that. Like, I wanted to gloss over just these little bits because it's like, I know, especially with you, Ben, we're going to get into the nitty gritty of this episode.
So right at the beginning, when I talk about the device that Diva Talks uses that transports Diva Talks, she's trying to test it on a Piranatron who is having none of this nonsense at all.
Felt so bad for him.
And he's just, and even when she orders him to stand still, just doesn't. And for some reason, this ray that whatever it hit teleports then ricochets off a rock. For some reason.
Look, this is clearly a note that the Piranatrons should have unionized a long time ago, and then they just didn't. Why did it ricochet off the rock? What was it supposed
rather than just transport the rock?
Maybe it needs to be like a certain type of physical matter that it can hit or
it
something like that.
It has to be an organic being to be functional and not reflective. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, there could be all kinds of different types of organic life. I don't know. Star Trek told us that. But I'm thinking that this thing has to have different settings, right? It has to have different, like, modes, that it's not just a transporter, because, like, there's also, like, I don't want to bury the lead, but there's also donkey mode, apparently.
Yeah.
How does it give her an amnesia?
That's one of the
that's
moments,
the real question here. Forget that it bounced off the rock when it's supposed to be a teleportation device.
Well, the thing is, though, is that, you know, given how that's a teleportation device, you know, maybe that's one of the issues that came with it, that, like, you don't know what the side effects are of being transported by that device. And in Diva Tox's case, it's amnesia.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah,
makes about as much sense as anything else in Power Rangers.
A Piranatron turned into a donkey.
Like, and it's still not the weirdest thing in Power Rangers.
I know.
Yeah, I just, like, from the get-go, I knew this episode was going to be good, right? Because any time they introduce something that you can just look at and go, this in and of itself breaks the rules of reality, aka teleportation, When that happens in a Power Rangers episode, things are getting turned up to 11, right? And as I said earlier in this episode, when we were talking about the jackets and things, Power Rangers in the Zordon era is at its best when it is embracing how silly it is.
This episode does definitely go very far into that direction.
Yeah, and that's why it's the perfect combination of Turbo for me, right? Yeah. It's the correct Divatox doing things that Divatox shouldn't be doing and doing them brilliantly in a situation that's absolutely absurd with a silly, very racially insensitive monster that's made out of a pizza box, and Balkan Skull are there, and it's just this perfect storm of silly.
I'm pretty sure I have a note here that says all Italians should be offended and should sue.
I wonder how many different like races and nationalities have been offended by Power Rangers at some point in the history of the franchise.
You could make the argument that this is kind of, I guess, a Japanese idea of like a Italian caricature. Like a really over-exaggerated version of that anyways, because like this is completely Sentai kookiness being adapted into even kookier Power Rangers, which I do love.
And to that point, even my limited knowledge of Sentai can acknowledge that Japan takes some creative liberties when it comes to portraying certain stories and certain types of things in their shows. So, yeah.
So I think we've kind of gone over it. Now she has the job. I love Divatox, the pizza shop employee, so much.
Worst employee.
No.
Best employee.
Dude, she's doing like more than the freaking owner is doing.
She's doing like five jobs.
She takes bites out of pizzas as she's handing them out to people.
Okay. Then don't ask her to do five jobs. She won't be as hungry.
She licks the pepperoni before she put it on the pizza, before it's even baked into the oven.
Yeah, the heat cooks that right out of there.
I will say this. There's this great sequence in this episode where Carlos and Justin have been playing soccer. And they come into the pizza shop. And there's just this sequence of Carlos and Divatox doing things where they miss each other. Like she bends down to get something and he turns around and then she stands up behind him and they turn around. And it's a brilliantly choreographed sequence of them missing each other. And it's just one of those things that makes me love this episode even.
Can we also just talk about for a second in that scene, Carlos's entire order comes out to $15.
For two pizzas.
For two large pizzas plus sodas and water.
I can't even get like a foot-long sub from Subway for that much anymore.
The 90s were a great time, man.
Oh, and now we cry in corners.
And now there's like to pull back a little. Hollis and Justin are doing some bonding over football, soccer, as Americans would call it. Like Justin not knowing if he can play and maybe being embarrassed and things like that.
And being a nerd because he wants to do math homework.
Well, that's not so much the point I was trying to make, but yes, we get another. We get another in the series of the Power Rangers having to parent Justin because his dad won't.
Yeah. So I didn't write that many questions for this because honestly, I knew we'd be talking so much about the positives.
Yeah.
Now we should note that while all this is also going on, Porto, Elgar, you know, they're all looking for Diva Tox and they don't know where she is. And imagine they just get hungry all of a sudden. So they order pizza. Porto shows up and he sees
Diva. Okay, you're absolutely burying the lead here. Porto shows up dressed as an old woman with a big sun hat.
Yes.
My note was Porto comes in dressed like Big Mama from Big Mama's House.
Yeah.
Also known as the most... That disguise should not have fooled anyone, and yet it did.
But Porto does find Diva Tox, and he uses the teleportation device in the kitchen, and it hits off a pan, hits her, and she, now her amnesia has been fixed. If I, you know, and I want to say this right now, I think once Diva Tox gets her memory back, this episode kind of goes downhill for me.
Wait, I thought Elgar was the one that fixed Diva Tox's amnesia because he hits her with the ray again.
No, because it happened in the kitchen.
Okay, yeah, so then the ray was just him teleporting.
So Porto goes back to the submarine, tells people where Diva Tox is, and then Elgar teleports in to get her.
Right.
Right. So Elgar is the one who shoots the ray, hits off a pan.
It bounces off something. Yeah.
Yeah. It bounces off like a pan. It hits her and she gets her memory back. And then we get like normal Diva Tox and they get the monster from the pizza box. We get possibly the greatest thing to ever happen. And that is the Power Rangers being cooked into a pizza in a giant oven.
In a giant Sentai microwave.
Yeah, that I think Porto makes out of just nowhere.
There's a very simple explanation.
Like, I'm fine with it. Like, you say that this episode goes downhill when Diva Tox gets her memory back. I'm sorry, but this episode just constantly delivers. Again, it's all about being stupid and silly, right? Yes, thank you, Brian. You spotted the pun. It delivers, yes. Like, it doesn't get sillier than getting baked into a pizza. It doesn't get sillier than Blue Centaurian's car getting taken over by pizza. Sorry, by the Lightning Cruiser and the other one getting taken over by pizzas on the wheels and then getting defeated by a stoplight. It doesn't get sillier. It doesn't get better in early Power Rangers. It just doesn't.
There is one funny thing in this episode because you mentioned it. The cars are, you know, Lightning Cruiser and Storm Blaster, except in this episode, it's not Storm Blaster. Justin calls it Mountain Blaster.
Yeah. And also, they're sentient.
Yes.
These cars are sentient, which implies that the pizzas have mind control.
Wait, I thought the monster had mind control and not the pizzas themselves.
But the monster isn't telling the cars what to do. It just makes the cars evil. And they go around terrorizing people. Like,
I mean, I think for one thing for me, when I was watching it, it was like, you know, we've kind of, but it's like shtick we've seen before with those type of things. in the past, and that's kind of like where with me, it's like, yeah, we have. It's like, how many times, we've seen it a couple of times leading up to this, where it's like they've put a device or something like that, and they found ways to kind of take over a Zord, like particularly a Mighty Morphin with the Dragon Zord. You
Happens
know,
all the time.
yeah, it's like, so for me, it was like, oh, okay, you know, it's unique. It's, I did find the pizza on the wheels as funny, but it was like, we've kind of seen this before. So it's
Well,
like,
right, but you
yes.
can literally say that about every Zord fight ever.
And I have.
You can literally say that about every time they fight foot soldiers.
And we have.
By your rationale, Mike, Power Rangers got boring in episode three.
And I will say that, like, at the very least, even if they're going back to the well on stuff, at least they're trying different things. And I love the fact that it's pizza this time.
It's
'Cause like,
never about what is happening in the episode. It is about the context of what is happening in the episode, right? Take, for example, Green with Evil. It is hailed as one of the best Power Rangers serials of all time. They're fighting an evil ranger and the command center gets invaded and all of that, blah, 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 blah. Widely hailed as one of the best things of all time. You compare that to any other number of times. Let's take Dino Thunder, for example, right? When they're fighting the White Dino Ranger, it's nowhere near as good as
Green with Evil.
Green with Evil, right? But the context of how Trent is so integral to the story, makes it just as impactful in certain areas. So to take and dismiss, oh, they made the Zords evil, and you that's ha yes, it's happened a bajillion in times, right? So what? We'll talk about the end of this season later, where the Zords get blown up, right? And we will come to comparing that to like a Doomsday, which or something like that, where other Zords get blown up. Zords get blown up in every season, but it's about the context about how they get blown up, right? In this episode is the capsule of this episode of the theme, what happens, how it happens, the silliness of Diva Tox losing her memory and becoming a New Yorker, the awesome rehearsal that I can't imagine how many takes that sequence with Carlos and Diva Tox took to get right. The way that they start introducing more information about Justin, the way that Elgar and Torto and all of the rest have to start thinking for themselves for a bit. And then the conclusion of stop the way that they get baked into the pizza and they use the it's a capsule episode, right? And as I've said every other time we've come to certain, it's about the context of how things are presented, right? And this episode presents itself as a whole as absolutely silly, better as a theme, I think, than any other silly capsule episode in the Zordon era.
What I think is also really interesting about this episode is it does get into something that we see in a few episodes throughout the rest of the series, which it establishes Justin and Carlos's friendship. So we kind of,
Yes.
because we're dealing with new Rangers, right? We have to establish new team dynamics and everything. And one of the things that I actually really like that they do is they specifically sort of, and yeah, Justin is, obviously friends with everybody on the team, but there's like a specific relationship, friendship that he has with Carlos that we see in several episodes down the line. They can like have conversations that maybe he wouldn't necessarily have with the other Rangers. And even though Carlos's actors, I think that it wasn't the acting that was his fault. I think the dialogue was just weird in future episodes. But you do see their dynamic there. And I really like that we have this kind of friendship because Justin is technically the most experienced ranger at this point,
Yeah.
but he's still a kid and he needs that level of like adult, quote unquote, older sibling support. And Carlos, I think, in a way, really feels like an older sibling to him. So I like
Yeah.
that.
I agree with you, Sasha. And that is a really interesting dynamic that you pointed out where it's like, yeah, he is the one with the most experience, but he's still a kid. And I agree. I like the dynamic too. Like, because, yeah, maybe like he. Maybe he wouldn't feel comfortable having the same conversations with like TJ, that he can with Carlos for whatever reason. I don't know. It's not for any other reason. It's just, hey, he's the leader. He's probably got a lot more things on his mind than say Carlos would, just because I don't know. But it's a really cool dynamic, and I liked it.
Yeah.
They're also a new device or Zord debuted because I have a note here that says Rangers get a new toy.
It's the cannon thing that they,
Yes.
because there's not actually like a big Zord fight in this episode,
Yeah.
which is another thing I like. It's one of the few episodes where things aren't resolved by giant robots.
Yeah.
Because they're very much leaning on the two new cars that we debuted earlier in this recording, and this new gun thing, which is just another toy, I guess.
Order 3, Bandai Namco sell toys.
Also,
Yeah.
poor Bulk and Skull. They got lost.
Yeah.
They didn't have much to do this episode. They just got lost.
Oh yeah, like, well, they got another new job, didn't they? It's
They're the pizza delivery
another
boys.
in their piece in their sequence of trying to find jobs. This time they were pizza delivery boys that just ate all the pizza. And Skull Bolt proved they didn't know how to read a map. Imagine that. Needing a map to get places that is like GPS.
I mean, when I worked at Pizza Hut back in the day, I knew people that could memorize stuff like that. So
Yeah.
I don't know. But I will say also, this is completely like this has no consequence at all on the episode, but I wonder if anybody else thought this. There's a girl that's working in the back when Diva Talk says some people like it raw, that I
Yeah.
swear looked like a blonde Fern from Jungle Karma Pizza.
That's exactly what I thought. Hang on a minute.
Yeah. I
Because
was like, Ben, be honest. Did you steal Brian's notes before recording?
no, I just me being me and really loving Jungle Fury, right? The first thing I was like, hang on, is that I was just like,
Is that
okay.
Fern? Or Fern's mom or something? I don't know.
Now I want pizza.
Well, guess what, Ben? We're at the end of the episode.
Oh,
So,
no. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not.
you're gonna
No, we're
keep
not.
going. Okay.
No, we're not. Because I do want to. I've talked a hell of a lot about this episode, right? I just want to cut off the inevitable. But it's widely considered the worst episode of Power Rangers of all time. And I'm like, I don't care. People like what they
Calling it
like.
the worst, so this was not my favorite episode, but I calling it the worst episode of Power Rangers is that's a low bar.
It is widely by the fandom as a large considered the one of the lowest points of Power Rangers.
I can think of five off the top of my head, and no, they're not all Super Mega Force.
I mean, all you have to do is just look at the whole Neo Saban era.
Guys, it's not even that. Even going back to forget the future, stick to the past, right? Even looking at, given how seriously we take the show at times and how we've brutalized the show, you could be like, our listeners can just go back and re-listen to some of our episodes to know that there's some episodes we absolutely hated. This was just for some of us
Zio
a
Christmas
second time.
episode.
What was that, Brian? Say it again.
Zio Christmas episode.
Yeah, I think that is in fact the worst episode of Power Rangers, and anybody can fight me. Glad we solved that issue.
But that's what I'm saying, is I'm not talking about us.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I am talking about the fandom at large.
Which is wrong.
We don't tend to think of the same way a lot of the fandom does, as is proved by the person that came at me at our Awesome Con panel this year trying to prove that Tommy Oliver was the greatest Power Ranger of all time and left with a different opinion.
What really separates us from the rest of the fandom, since Ben opened the door to that question, I think it is the fact that we're not working off nostalgia. Like, even Mike and Brian, who are kind of more, have like more slightly large, like they have like maybe little nostalgia glasses here and there. But, you know, we're looking at these episodes objectively as adults. I wonder if the fact that this episode was so silly right out of the gate after losing all of the core cast members really just kind of, you know, it made their widow heart a widow sad, and it shrunk a little bit. So I could see where like a lot of kids who kind of grew up with the original series at this point kind of rage quitting. But I still don't think it's that bad.
And something to keep in mind, like the nostalgia glasses for like me, they technically come off at like the 3/4 mark of season 2.
Yeah.
Because that's when I stopped watching. I didn't finish season 2. I got like maybe a quarter of the way after Adam Aisha and Rocky came into the picture. Like as actual Rangers.
Yeah. And I'm coming at this purely from a 40-plus year old man, right? Like, and I think that's why I enjoy this episode so much. Because it is just pure silly. And it embraces that.
For me, you know, we're right near where like the power transfer had happened, which honestly is kind of where I jumped off. I stuck with Power Rangers all the way up to Turbo right at that point. And yeah, I will say once Tommy left, I kind of left too. So now the nostalgia glasses are really off for me, because like I'm literally at the point where I'm going, okay, this is where I stopped. What happened then? So I can look at this with, you know, hindsight's 2020, and like look at this episode as an adult, and I still love it, you know. Like, yeah, I like to think that like I come at this from the purview of like a adult that likes to be critical about stories and stuff. And yeah, we do take this children's show way too seriously, as we like to say, and we should probably trademark that. But yeah, I can view this from like, okay, like what did I miss? And it's like, oh yeah, this is okay. Honestly, had I stuck around, I probably would have liked this.
Can we have like buttons or stickers we can make that say, you know, adults taking a children's show way too seriously?
I would love that.
Right, now we can finish the episode, Mike.
We'll put it on the business card, Sasha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have some conventions coming up.
At the time of this
at the time of this recording,
yes, but we're not
going
to get into that.
Because we're going to be using that content to lead into us going in the Turbo. So you've all heard it. So yes,
and they're halfway through the season. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I know. So with that, we're at the end of the episode. So Sasha, where can the people find you on the social media?
What social media? No, you can find me primarily on Threads. I now go by Jewish Comics Queen. And on Instagram under the same handle. Let me know your thoughts on all things Jewishness and superheroes.
Brian?
You can find me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek, and you can also find me on TikTok at Blue Ranger B-Rai, where I collaborate with people and I make silly TikTok videos about Power Rangers and Super Sentai.
Ben, good sir.
You can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me doing the video game thing over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
And that's kind of it for me at the moment, other than voice from the Grid's sister show, Awesome Mania.
Yep.
Which, Mike?
which you can find on txthockey.com/x75productions, which is where you can also find this podcast. And this podcast specifically has its own Twitter of at VFTG_PR, and click on the link tree to find everywhere you can find the show for Voices from the Grid. Plus, you can find me on Twitter at TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions, and as mentioned, on TXHTHockey.com, where you will find everything that I do. And of course, Ben, as always, it is time for you to take us out.
That being said, it has been great to be here, one of the few appearances I make during Turbo, talking about one of my favorite episodes of Power Rangers of all time, not just the Zordon era. So we will leave you, as we always do whenever I'm on the show, by saying, guys, gals, non-binary pals, those beyond that spectrum, please be excellent to each other. Party on, my friends.
And until our next more phenomenal episode, be sure to grab your turbo morphers and shift into turbo.
And may the power protect you.
Sir, will my pizza be long? No, sir, your pizza is round.